Did you ever get food poisoning before?
There was that time, remember, when I had to stay over and get a hotel room because we had a big snowstorm. I got Chinese food in this area. I thought it was the best Chinese food of my life. And then I wasn't right for 2 days, Anna Zapp.
It's Anna and Raven. I have this, like, fear because I'm cooking so much for Thanksgiving this year, and it's the first time I'm ever cooking anything. Usually I'm just in charge of picking up the pies, and I'm happy with that.
Right.
But there is a study out that says that 22% of people have gotten food poisoning from a holiday meal. And all I keep thinking about is I am going to poison my family.
It is my wife's number one fear. Also, she is always there with the thermometer there, checking the temperature on different food items. It really doesn't matter what she's cooking. And she overcooks everything. So meat in my house, notoriously well done. I don't allow her to do that on Thanksgiving. So she's apprehensive a little bit when I start eating the bird. But she doesn't even eat it. So I tell her, don't worry about it.
But undercooked bird is actually not one of the reasons why people get food poisoning. And when you think about, like, one in five people better than that are getting food poisoning, top three reasons why you get food poisoning during the holidays, okay?
Okay, I'm ready.
Number three, they leave the turkey out for 3 or 4 hours before they put it in the refrigerator. So the bacteria starts to grow on it at the 2 hour mark. So it's not even the actual dinner that's going to get you sick. It's the leftovers that you get you sick because you left it out on the table for too long.
Wow, that's funny because I never thought of that before. I mean, with a bird that big, you figure 2 hours, it's still pretty warm. And a lot of people, they wait till it cools off till they put it in the fridge. I can understand that.
Yep. Second reason why people get food poisoning. Only 26% of people wash their hands before they make the food, which can lead to cross-contamination when they're cooking different things. I would think in COVID times that you would be washing your hands a little bit more frequently if you're cooking on Thursday.
Yes.
But, yeah, that's kind of nasty when you're thinking about it, right?
1 in 4 people is washing their hands before they prepare a meal for their entire family. That's appalling.
I know. Yeah, but then I started thinking about it, and I was like, when was the last time that I washed my hands before I started cooking dinner for my family, like a regular night during the week? And I'm going to be honest, as nasty as it sounds, I don't think I do that.
That's terrible. You should be doing that every single time. Like, I mean,
I know.
That sounds like a joke. You got to be kidding me. Okay.
Yeah.
What else?
The number one reason, though, why people get food poisoning on the holidays is 62% of Americans rinse the raw turkey in the kitchen sink, which splatters germs up to 3 feet away. So it's all over the counters and other cooking services. So you don't even realize that you're doing it. Washing the turkey, you think you're doing the right thing, but the only thing you're doing is getting nasty turkey germs like all over your mashed potatoes that's sitting like 4 blocks away on the dining room table.
It's like a slaughterhouse in there.
One time I got food poisoning and I was 8.5 months pregnant. It's with Hayden. This is with my older daughter. And I'll never forget it. We went to this steakhouse, and my husband said it. He goes, we should never eat at a steakhouse that has carpet on the floor that smelled this way, and it had a salad bar. And we spent all night. And then I got sick, so we called the doctor, and he's like, bring her to the emergency room. Problem is that he, once he saw me starting to, throw up, he started throwing up. And then it was a battle of who could puke more.
Right.
It was awful.
Yeah, it's terrible.
Right. The moral of the story, don't wash your turkey in the sink and definitely don't eat at steakhouses that have carpets. What would you do in this situation, Santa and Raven? This past weekend, I took Dakota to her first socialization tumbling class. It's like one of those places where they go and they play with each other and they sing songs, things like that.
Okay. All right. It's like a preschool thing.
Yeah, right? It's like a 45-minute
thing. I hear socialization and I think of you take the dogs to the dog park and make sure they don't bite anybody else.
Well, this is actually
kind of the same thing.
Very similar.
Okay, good.
So we're all excited. This is the first time she's in a situation like that.
Sure.
She hasn't spent a whole lot of time around other babies and it's time. And there are a lot of other parents there and there are a lot of other children there.
Mm-hmm.
And there's this one dad and his son is, I would say, probably about 1.5 years and he's a tank. He's a little tank.
All
you
right.
know?
He's big boned.
Yeah.
He's big boned. He's husky boy.
But he's cute, you know?
Right.
But he's running around.
So are puppies.
Yeah. And he's pushing the other kids over.
You can't have that.
But so the father doesn't say to his kid or grab his kid and be like, no, little, whatever your name is.
Right. That's not how we socialize.
This is what he does instead.
Gonna have to put the muzzle back on.
He goes to the kid who's now crying, laying out on the floor on the mat, and he goes, you're okay.
Oh, don't tell
you're
my kid.
Okay.
Don't tell my kid that the kid's okay.
Oh my gosh.
If your kid is a brute.
The first time it happened, and I was like, huh.
Right. Maybe dial your kid back a little bit if he's out here jumping off the line like a linebacker.
Right. But he just continues to chase after him, and here comes the kid again, and he goes up to another kid. and pushes him down.
Right.
And I go, oh,
now
this
time.
Now
that kid starts crying.
Now this kid is on the ground, and the parents run over, and the father looks, you're okay. And I was like, wait a minute.
Right.
What? Tell your kid.
So we're just endorsing assault here now, sir?
Right.
That's what we're doing? We're just teaching him that this is all right.
Now it's bubble time. And bubble time is a special time in this class because the kids are pumped.
I didn't realize that.
Oh, there's a bubble time.
Okay.
So now the bubbles are floating everywhere and the kids got their hands and they're trying to catch the bubbles and everybody's all excited.
So it's already pandemonium. I mean, obviously, people are already, they're flustered for this time.
And the kid pushes another kid.
Oh, my gosh.
And the dad looks, and I kid you not, goes, you're okay. And now I'm wondering why no parent is saying anything to this
kid.
Can
I just ask one question
before
you continue? Where is the owner of this facility? Doesn't the owner have some sort of, wouldn't there be a supervisor, like a lifeguard?
Well, there's a lady. Like, there's a lady in charge.
She doesn't
teacher.
Say anything. She's
no,
letting it all play out.
In her defense, there's a lot of kids and there's a lot of parents, and you really should be watching your own kids, which he is. He's chasing after him.
Right.
But he just keeps saying,
but he's just apologizing for
you're
him.
You're okay.
Right, that's it.
He's not apologizing. He's just saying that to the other kid. So now it's cleanup time.
Mm-hmm.
The music's playing in the background. The kids are dancing. They're cleaning up.
This is like a real thing? They play this when it's cleanup time?
The cleanup song. Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know.
Yeah. To clean up. Yeah.
Right. Okay.
So now all the kids are cleaning up.
Right.
And I'm waiting for the opportunity because I'm almost like,
I thought that cleanup song was going to keep going. All right.
I was like, If he pushes Dakota down, I'm going to be the parent that comes in. I'm going to say, don't tell her she's okay.
Right.
Right?
You already told done 4 or 5 kids in here they're all right.
He didn't push Dakota over. Probably because Dakota's a tank herself.
Right.
And she could probably push back.
Right.
But he didn't. And all I kept thinking is, would you have said to that parent, stop telling these other kids, you're okay.
Right.
And said to him, control your kid. Or do you kind of keep to yourself and you just kind of move on because they're kids and that's what they do?
Here's the thing. I try and give the kid a benefit of the doubt for a few minutes. But what happens is ultimately, if I see it continue, I'm in a volcano.
1-800-330-9999. If it wasn't your child that was being pushed over by the kid, would you get involved and say something to the parent or not?
Clean up. Everybody clean up.
Clean.
Everybody clean up.
That's the jam right there.
It is the jam. I was really excited this past Saturday. We had brought my daughter Dakota to the first like socialization tumbling class. All the mats, they climb, they, you know.
It's like doggy daycare, but for kids. I mean, that's the way that I understand it, as you told me. They got to learn to be social so they don't bite anybody.
Santa and Raven. But there's this one parent, one kid, and it was a dad. And the kid was probably 1.5 years, just a little linebacker, real cute kid.
Big kid, stocky kid, running around having a good time, but knocking everybody over.
Knocking him to the ground. And the father, instead of grabbing his son, would look to the kid on the ground, who inevitably would cry because they were just knocked over.
Right.
And he would say, you're okay.
Oh, you're totally okay.
You're okay.
My kid's behavior is normal.
And I saw him do this to 3 kids. And now in my mind, I'm getting infuriated because one, no other parent is stepping up to him and saying, hey, get some control over your kid and tell him to stop knocking down the other kids.
Right.
But I'm thinking in my head, it's not really my place to step in and say something because he's not doing anything to my kid.
Hasn't come to your kid yet.
What would you have done? Would you have said something otherwise, or would you have just been quiet like I was? Because I feel conflicted about it. 1-800-330-9999. It's Anna and Raven.
I would definitely have said something to the parent. I would have been scared that, oh, God, my daughter knows how I am. I would have definitely warned the other parent, if your kid does something to my kid, I'm going to be really upset. I would have said to him, you need to, you know, watch your kid and you need to make sure he doesn't hurt other children. It's not right.
In the words of my friends, Dos Effects, who are in my parenting group, Raven's parenting group, which is different from Anna's, I would have said, check yourself before you riggedy wreck yourself. Right.
Right.
Seriously, I do want to swear right now, but I'm on the radio.
Right. Here's the thing with Dos Effects. You don't even know when they're swearing. Nobody understands what they're saying.
Yeah. Thank you for the call. And on Raven, what would you have done in the situation? Would you have said something to the dad?
Oh, I think absolutely. I mean, I could be somewhere with your kids and you see somebody do that once, I would have been, well, somebody said, what kind of jerk is he? But if, you know, he did it 3 times like that, I definitely think I would have said something. Absolutely.
Right. Lock that kid up. This is learned behavior. Right.
You know, like, you know, but you hear people say that to their kids. Hey, it's okay going to comfort them. But you don't let your kid knock down other kids and say, it's okay. I mean, it's ridiculous.
Anna and Raven, what would you have done in this situation?
Oh, by that time that third kid got pushed down, I would have gone to the dad and told him that even though the kid might be okay, their kid learning to be a bully is not okay.
Right.
And I wouldn't have stood for it.
Yeah, the problem is that it wasn't my kid. I was ready. I had it rehearsed in my head.
Oh, so you don't care about the community of kids, huh?
Well, if their parents
are
there.
All the other kids, it's not okay.
Right. Yeah. You heard what I heard, she said. She said, the rest of the world is their own problem. I heard what she said.
Mm. Anna and Raven, what do you think about this? What would you have done?
Anna, I prescribe from the school of It Takes a Village, and I would have let this gentleman know it's not okay. It's B-A-D. It's B-A-D. This is B-A-D. This is not okay, and someone should report you to ACS since your alphabet is limited.
You know what?
This is a lot of acronyms. I'm going to sit down. I'm going to write this out, and I'm going to make sure that I completely understand. But overall, my feeling is that I'm with you.
Right. Bad.
Yeah.
B-A-D.
Yeah. Oh, it was bad. Okay.
Bad.
B-A-D.
All right. I was going to write that out. Take a little time, but thank you.
Thank you. And on Raven, what would you have done in the situation?
Well, I would have pulled the father over on the side and said, could you please take your son and talk to him?
Mm.
That's what I would have
done. What if he said to you, you're okay.
You're okay.
It's okay.
I would have said, I'm okay, but you're not going to be okay.
Oh!
Boom. Just
she
like that.
She sounded so nice until she threatened his life.
That's all I need to know about you.
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 You see people doing questionable things all the time, and you think to yourself, that is all I need to know about you. It's Anna and Raven. All you have to do is fill in the blank. If you blank, that's all I need to know about you. Raven, I was stuck in a parking lot yesterday for about an hour waiting for my daughter to come out of this class thing that she was at. And it was starting to get late. It was like 4:30, 5 o'clock, and the sun is going down. And out of the corner of my eye, I see like a two-level kind of duplex. And they had their Christmas tree up, right?
Of course. It's the time. I feel it. I love it.
It was like a rave. I don't know how these people don't have a seizure. If you put so many lights on your tree that all you're going to do is cause car crashes outside your window because it's so bright, that is all I need to know about you. Like, it was lit up like it was 1997 tunnel in Manhattan, a club. It was like flashing beams coming from the house. At first, I thought it was like a spaceship landing in there, and I couldn't understand what was going on. And then I realized, no, that's their Christmas tree with 70 billion lights on it.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, it's really the time of automation now. So if you go to the store, I mean, if it's got the built-in lights, you know, listen, I'm all about ease of operation. So I would go fake tree, built-in lights. And now once they have the built-in lights, it's not like they're just going a few colors. Any color of the rainbow, rapid scatter effect. They do it all. And it's right there at the push of a button. Most of it actually now at this point, Bluetooth compatible.
It's ridiculous. So all I think is like when I put my Christmas tree up, which, you know, I'm a purist, so I won't do it until this weekend after Thanksgiving.
But, okay.
You know, I like the dull, pretty glow. I sit on the couch and I look at it and I admire it. And it's like, you know, it's lit up so nicely and it's calm and it's welcoming. This was like it was like a party in their living room. Like, I don't understand how you look at that and you get like calm and say it's the holiday season. All it made me want to do was like bust out my Paula Abdul tapes and start dancing.
Wow. That is quite the reference. No, again, it's just you want to be able to switch every mood. At this point, the trees are up early, and we want them to stay late. Considering all that's been going on this year, it would be okay if that thing's up until spring break. So I don't care about
leaving it up, but how are you not going to go blind looking at that thing?
That's what the light show is for, Fat Tuesday. It's a different kind of attitude is all I'm saying.
Thanksgiving coming up this week, and for a lot of people, you're hosting for the first time ever because gatherings are so limited. It's Anna and Raven. Chef Plum from the Food Network has been joining us every day to give us tips. Just as important as turkey is the desserts. What should definitely be on your table for dessert?
I love dessert. Dessert's one of my favorite. So in my house, I love fried turkey and I love dessert. So basically, my plate is generally sliced fried turkey and a whole bunch of pie. Is that weird?
No. It's not weird at all.
Sounds
it's
delicious.
Exactly what I'll be doing.
Yeah.
You guys always make me feel so good about myself. I appreciate that. Thank you for that.
You're welcome.
Hey, Thanksgiving desserts is one of those things where I was thinking a lot about this, and I couldn't. It's not pretty. Like, if you think about Thanksgiving desserts, it's a lot of browns, a lot of, like, tans. It's not, like, beautiful colors and things like that. The first thing I think of is pie. How about you guys?
Pie, a cheesecake? Yeah, that sounds great.
Cheesecake. I thought about that one, too. Cheesecake's not a bad one. When it comes to pie, you got to have the staples. Pecan pie or pecan. I say pecan. You got to have apple pie. You got to have a chocolate pie. And all these things are really easy. If you want to make a super easy chocolate pie and don't tell anybody, you can get those chocolate pudding mixes from the grocery store where you just add water. Anna, you've seen those, right?
Yes. I actually say that I make those from scratch.
That's it right there. If you get that and get a pie crust and put that mixture in there, that chocolate pudding in there, and then put a little spray whipped cream right on top. If Aunt Irma and Uncle Lester show up too early, you can already have a chocolate pie ready for them, ready to go. That's an easy one right there. The other one I like is bread pudding. Bread pudding is an easy, easy dessert to make, and you figure it's this time of year where we have heavy food. You can get away with making something this heavy, and no one's going to judge you. So when I make a bread pudding, I'm going to get a great brioche bread. Pretzel rolls work out fantastic. Baguette loaves work out fantastic. You're going to tear it up or cut it into small pieces, put it into a pan, a big casserole dish. I call them pans, but I use big silver pans. The custard you're going to make that's going to go over it, the best way to describe it when I tell people to make a bread pudding is think French toast, right? Think of that batter you make to dip the bread in for French toast. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so think that. Eggs, cream, sugar, cinnamon, a little nutmeg on there. Mix it up really nice. If you have a hand mixer, it works even better. And then what I like to do is take a little white chocolate chips. I'm going to sprinkle those throughout the entire bread mixture and put some in my egg mixture that I've mixed up. Dump the egg mixture in there. Mix it all up with your hands because that's the two best tools you have, along with that white chocolate, and bake it in the oven for about 20 minutes at 350 degrees. This is the most delicious, easy dessert you could possibly make on the planet. It's torn bread, French toast batter, and some white chocolate chips. I mean, it looks
so
fancy with white chocolate.
I love bread pudding. I actually, when I studied abroad in London, I thought that bread pudding was famous in England. Turns out you can't get it anywhere.
No, it's not like made the same way and all that stuff too. They're making it by scratch over there. And you know what they're not doing? They're not giving you all the sweets and the goods that he gave you. That's the thing, Chef Plum. What I love about you, you embrace the sweets because you know that's the way to win people over.
Hey, I got to maintain my Adonis-like figure. You know what I mean? 250 mm-hmm. pounds of twist of steel and sex appeal, baby. Let's do it.
All right, what are you going to do with those leftovers? We'll find out from Chef Plum tomorrow morning with Anna and Raven.
Ain't going to be no bread pudding leftover.
The one thing we love is our rescue puppies. It's Anna and Raven. Almost Home Animal Rescue out of Patchogue has a lot of animals available for adoption right now, and we have Layla here. You probably hear her panting in the back. Ashley, can you tell us a little bit about Layla?
Layla is a 4-year-old bulldog Staffordshire Terrier mix who was an owner surrender. Sadly for Layla, she had an owner who ended up being incarcerated and gave her away, and then that person wasn't able to care for her, so they contacted us at Almost Home, and we brought her into the rescue.
She's a beauty, and she's just got this big personality. Mm-hmm. She's just gorgeous.
Great temperament, really. What is it that Almost Home really does? What is your mission, obviously? I know it's to help animals, but what is every bit of that process like for you guys?
So we run the largest community outreach program for low-income pet owners here in Suffolk County. Mm. So not only do we rescue and rehome pets, we also try to keep them in their homes by giving pet owners food, free medical care, free spay and neuter, any kind of support that will help them become better pet owners and keep their animals.
Yeah.
That's incredible.
Yeah, it really is one of the hardest parts of dealing with any sort of financial or personal or medical challenges or housing or whatever it may be, of course, is to give up what's your best friend. I mean, there's such a glue for most families as to keeping spirits up and alive. But obviously, they need the things that they need to be healthy, too. So what incredible work, really, to be able to provide that outreach.
I think that what I've heard a lot is, especially as a lot of families have lost jobs and have been going through the pandemic, is you have to start making really tough decisions. And
right.
when you have to think about, how am I going to feed my pet? Like, nobody wants to think like that, but obviously you think, okay, my children, my home, I need to keep all these things going. And the fact
right.
that you guys really go above above and beyond to help those families out is really admirable.
Right. Thank you.
And imagine the heartbreak, too, is that kids feel stress just like everybody else, just like pets feel stress, right? So when the pet is separated from that family, it hurts not only the rest of the family core, obviously it hurts the animal, too. It's everybody all together. So that's noble work. That's great work.
Thank you.
On average, you know, when you guys are working with animals, how many animals do you guys typically have or are there available right now?
So right now we have approximately 15 dogs wow. for adoption and around 40 cats, some yeah. in the shelter, some in foster care. And then through our community outreach program, we're servicing around 500 animals per month.
Wow. That's a lot.
Yeah, that is quite a bit.
Obviously, if you're looking to adopt your next pet, head over to Almost Home Animal Rescue. But also, if you find it in your heart this season to be able to make a donation, I'm sure that would be very helpful as well.
Absolutely.
Ashley, where does most of your support come from?
The general public. Mm. So we really rely on the community coming together and showing us support. Mm.
And Layla, where does her story go now after this? Is Layla available for adoption as well?
Layla is available for adoption, and we hope her forever home is out there.
I walked in, and she immediately gave me a kiss. I love the confidence of that, right?
Oh, yeah.
Face. Like, take off that mask. I'm kissing your face. I love it. All right, you can visit them online at almosthomeli.org. Thank you, Ashley.
Thank you, guys.
I'm livid, actually.
Okay.
Livid.
Okay.
Yep. It's Anna and Raven. Microsoft Word says that it is wrong to use two spaces between sentences. And that is 100% how I've been taught and the way I've been doing it since I was, the birth of computers in my life.
So you're right then. That means that the rest of the world should have to adjust so things stay in a place that you're comfortable with. Is that what I'm understanding here? Because I've been told for a long time, one space. Now, I was taught originally when I was young, two spaces, just like you said. But now I've been taught for, I don't even know, since email started, basically one space and that's it.
Well, I did a lot of research because I was curious. I'm like, why did I always think this? Why is this the only way I do it?
Right.
And I wanted to figure it out. Turns out it goes back to typewriters. And like the typewriters were so old school that they would have to use two spaces to kind of so it wouldn't all mesh together.
Right. It would look like a telegram if you've ever seen one of those back in the day. Yeah, it was just weird.
But they came up with five reasons why, and I found an actual Grammar Police guy on they decided to change this years ago, but they haven't made it official until literally just this week, Microsoft.
I mean, seriously, who does this much research on a double space?
Okay, five reasons.
Reason number one, it looks sexier.
That's
does fake. It? Does it really look sexier? Does it, Raven?
No.
Right.
I don't think any of it looks sexy.
Uh-huh.
Reason number two, typographers agree.
So? Typographers agree. Who's it? Do you know a typographer?
Right. I don't even have to respect one of them.
Right.
I don't even know who they are. I think they're made up. And I mean, seriously, if we're paying typographers to be working from home right now, there's something wrong with America.
And shouldn't they only be using two spaces? Like, why is that what they're working on? Shouldn't they be working on other typography stuff, like coming up with different fonts?
Save cancer.
Right.
Solve it.
I don't think typographers are in charge of
cancer.
Well,
you know what? Maybe they can rededicate some time.
Okay.
Reason number three. The alternative wastes your life away, one superfluous space at a time.
Really? We're wasting our time by putting an extra space that quarter of a second? See, even you don't agree with this nonsense.
No, he's just trying to use big words there.
Four, it's better for dyslexic people. Adding two spaces between sentences tends to create rivers of negative space on a page.
This is because he knows we don't know anything about what he's talking about?
Right, right. Right. So unless you're dyslexic, I don't know what he's saying.
Right, but a river on a page, we're like, we can't really argue with that because
right.
we don't know what you're saying.
That was a heady play. That was a good move.
Yeah, nice job, Grammar Police.
Yeah.
And five.
Different spaces or punctuation tell our brains to pause for different lengths. Long spaces tell our brain to pause after each sentence.
All right, now you're telling us that brains are stupid and we need to make up for stupid brains?
By
I'm
using
pretty sure
one space?
That's why we got rid of the typewriter and came up with a computer that autocorrects anyways.
I don't know. All I know is that I don't like this, and it bothers me that whenever I go onto a Word document, I'm going to get those little squiggly lines every time I use two spaces.
Every time.
Take a guess, Raven, on how much you think you'll gain between now and New Year's Day. How much would you guess?
I'm going to say probably 5 pounds, I would, if that.
56% of Americans believe that they will gain about 7 pounds between now and the new year.
That doesn't sound like the worst thing ever, right? Every time you pass a cookie or some block of fudge or something like that, you're going to eat it. Over the next few days, of course, we're going to ingest tons of turkey. But every time I have a day where I gorge and go all out, after after that, I have like 2 days where I don't eat it at all.
No, see, this is the difference between guys and girls. It's Anna and Raven. The guy, you're like, 7 pounds, no big deal. I'll just skip a lunch one of those days and I'll be back to normal.
Right.
No. You know how long it takes me to lose 7 pounds? 7 years. That's how long it takes. And that's if I'm really trying hard and don't have a sip of alcohol or a single carb.
Not a carb. Not a single one.
Not why I can't even look at a carb because it'll just magically appear on my stomach.
Don't be mad at me. I mean, I didn't create these rules. It's just the way that it worked out.
But I was looking over what are the top 5 fattening things that you're going to eat on Thanksgiving Day. Number 5. Alcohol. I thought this was interesting. So, you know, I have that weird rule where I don't drink alcohol on holidays because I think it gets in the way of my eating.
Is that the rule? I thought maybe we were just watching our tongue around family.
No, not at all. To me, like if I have like a glass or two of wine, I don't get hungry. I lose interest in food. And I think that these holidays are too important to be messing around with that. So I usually don't drink alcohol. But the number 5 most fattening thing you'll have on Thanksgiving Day is alcohol. A 4-ounce glass of wine has 100 calories. You'll have probably, I don't know, a 40. So of wine, so that's about 40,000 calories. But I was thinking about it. Like, they're not taking into consideration eggnog. Eggnog is like a holiday favorite. And that's 223 calories just for a small cup of it.
Yeah, but it's got to be good eggnog. So, you know, the eggnog that you remember when you were growing up, that was worth it. Nowadays, it's not quite the same.
Number 4, mashed potatoes and gravy. 105 calories an ounce. What? I mean, what's an ounce of mashed potatoes? Nothing. It's like a sip of mashed potatoes. They're saying that if you want to be healthier to skip the gravy. But is there anything sadder than mashed potatoes without the gravy?
Oh, I'm eating every drop of that. I mean, if there's something that's going to be finished, it will be the mashed potatoes and gravy.
Number 3, most fattening thing you're going to eat on your Thanksgiving table, stuffing. 108 calories an ounce. And only if that does not have sausage. If that has sausage, it doubles. What's in your stuffing at your house?
You don't have a set meat in there. Sometimes it's got some sausage in there, but I'm a regular guy. The regular breaded stuffing does me well, too.
Oh, see, I always have sausage. I never have it just plain. All right, number 2, pecan pie, 118 calories, again, for 1 ounce. Again, 1 ounce is fake. That is 100% a fake amount of pecan pie.
An ounce of something sounds like mustard on something. Like it comes in a ramekin or one of those tear-open pouches.
Exactly. And number 1, fattening thing you can have on Thanksgiving, sweet potato casserole. It's 460 calories for 1 serving. And by the way, this thing is judging things. I'm relatively certain that 1 serving to us is basically like what we eat on the way to the table before we actually put the scoop into our plates.
Once the marshmallows are toasted on top of that thing, it's like a Christmas gift waiting for me to unwrap it. So
when you read it this way, 7 pounds doesn't sound that bad, right?
I mean, it's a trade and we're doing it.
Sometimes, Raven, you just have to get things off your chest. And, you know, this is a no-judgment zone here. You got to get things off your chest, and we're not going to judge you. Here's the thing, though. You can't judge me either, okay?
Well, I promise not to judge other people, but as far as you go, we've got a different type of set of rules here.
It's Anna and Raven. Last night, I was watching that new Dolly Parton Netflix Christmas special.
Okay.
And I was like all like excited for it. I pumped up my daughter for it. And I mean, I guess I should have known since it's Dolly Parton and I knew that she had written new music for it. But it's a musical. And here's the thing. Don't judge me. But like, I think musicals are annoying. Like, it's not real life. When do you bust into song when you're walking down a street? I'm not into musicals.
Well, you know that I sing a lot while I'm doing my chores or work or stuff like that. But most people would say that my songs are stupid. I wouldn't be so boisterous as to share them with the rest of the world. You have to be in my immediate listening vicinity to actually know that it's happening. But I get what you're saying. Yeah, musicals, I mean, they just go scene to scene. They're just singing all over the place. And these songs, they're not like hooky songs. It's not like stuff you hear on the radio or anything like that. It's like songs about what they're doing.
Right, you have to pay attention. Otherwise, you lose
right.
focus on what it's happening. In the movie.
Right.
We asked on our Facebook page, don't judge me, but Nanny wrote, don't judge me, but I love cornflakes with pancake syrup. Ugh.
Okay. It's a little bit odd.
John wrote, don't judge me, but I'm enjoying social distancing.
Okay. Some people, I can understand that.
I think so too.
Yeah.
Raven, don't judge me, but usually I go grocery shopping on Sundays, and this past Sunday I didn't go, so I just decided that my family and I are going to eat takeout every day this week because it's a short week, and I figure Thanksgiving's on Thursday, and then we'll have leftovers anyway. We've eaten takeout every meal since Sunday.
I'll let you off the hook on that. I feel like this is a holiday approaching COVID thing right now. My wife hasn't been to the grocery store either. I ate 6-day-old cold cuts yesterday.
Oh, all right, I'm not going to judge you because this is when we don't judge each other, but that's slimy. Isn't it slimy?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I ate it one way or the other.
All right, don't judge me, but when I taught my boot camp last week, I was really tired, and I pretended like I was walking around and correcting people's forms, but the truth of the matter is I was just making excuses so I didn't actually have to do the workout myself as the instructor.
You were getting a breather.
Yeah. I like stop, and I pretend like I'm like trying to correct form. I'm like, okay, you got to get a little bit lower, but the truth of the matter is I was just tired of jumping around.
Please don't get too much lower because I can't follow you down there.
Yeah.
I can play this game. Don't judge me. I'll eat a sandwich 3 times a day. When my wife goes out, it's actually a secret joy that I feel inside.
Okay.
Because I know that
sandwiches.
I can eat a sandwich and a half, and she won't say a word if she's out.
Martinez wrote on our Facebook page, don't judge me, but I love cranberry sauce in a can.
Yeah. Don't judge me, but I never drive the speed limit. Anywhere.
Oh,
ever.
Raven.
I really don't. Come on.
I don't think I do either.
Right.
Sometimes you just want to get things off your chest. And here's your opportunity to in a completely judgment-free zone. It's Anna and Raven. 1-800-330-9999. You can call or text. Don't judge me, but on our Facebook page, Lori wrote, I think gravy is the main course, not the turkey. I have my own gravy boat. Oh, she's got her own gravy boat, Raven. That's serious.
It also sounds like clogged arteries.
Yeah.
But I'm not judging.
Don't judge me, but Rachel wrote, I love green bean casserole. I won't judge you. I like it, too.
Yeah, that's like my favorite thing on the table with the French's onions on top. Mmm.
Yeah. Sometimes, though, we do things that are a little bit questionable and you just want to get it off your chest. So here you go. 1-800-330-9999. Santa and Raven, don't judge me, but...
Don't judge me, but I still read comic books, and I'm 46 years old. And sometimes I even cosplay and dress up like characters on Dragon Ball Z.
Wow.
I don't know what Dragon Ball Z is.
It's a very popular anime type. I actually don't know what it is. I was just spitballing here.
All right.
That's just filibustering until we got out of it. You know what? Good for you, though, man.
Yeah.
You know, whenever I see those Comic-Con things going on or whatever, I think to myself, you know what? If I won the Powerball and I had nothing to do that weekend, no job to be at or whatever, I'd like to dress up in spandex and have fun, too.
Yeah.
Why not?
I'm not judging you. I'm high-fiving you. Go
right.
Put it on right now.
Right.
And send me a picture.
It's fun. Just have fun in life.
Yeah. No, I agree with you. Go for it. You like comic books? Read your comic books. You want to dress up? Dress up. Hi, it's Anna and Raven. Don't judge me, but go for it.
Don't judge me, but I told my new boyfriend that I'm an only child because I hate my sister.
Oh, what are you going to do? Like,
right. if it's new, you can do that lie. That's all right. Not judging you.
I'm not judging you.
For a certain amount of time.
Right. But then how do you, like, don't you eventually have to tell the truth? And then why do you have to, how are you going to explain that you lied?
Surprise, my sister's a witch.
I'll cross that bridge when I get there.
Wow.
Wow.
Imagine you just have to pretend like there's a family member that doesn't exist.
Nasty times. I mean, I wouldn't have mentioned them, but if you asked me directly, I'm not sure I would lie.
I'm an only child. No one else in this family. Right. Shows up at Christmas morning. There's just 3 brothers and sisters there.
Well, it tells you where the boyfriend is, too. He ain't going.
Right.
Hi, it's Anna and Raven. Don't judge me, but...
Don't judge me, but sometimes when I'm at the self-service checkout at the grocery store, sometimes I don't pay for everything.
What?
Sometimes... I mean,
she said, don't judge me.
Apple here, there, something. You know, sometimes if the tea is really overpriced.
What? That's premeditated, man. I'm going to haul you up. I'll haul you up in the loss prevention office.
This is called don't judge me. You can't judge.
Well, I mean, if I was a security guard, I'm not judging you inside. It's my professional obligation.
I mean, if they caught me, I'd be like, oops, and I'd pay for it, of course. But, you know, the way I look at it, they're not doing their jobs right.
Oh, gosh. Okay.
By standing back and monitoring. Lord knows if they heard this, they'll be looking for you today.
Couples Court on the Anna and Raven Show.
Christina and Ryan together. Christina, what's going on?
I am supposed to go to my in-laws for Thanksgiving, and I really don't want to have to do that this year. I've hit my limit with the way they keep their house. It's really gross, and I feel like every year it gets worse. The idea of eating dinner from a kitchen like that, I'm so sorry, this sounds so rude, but it's disgusting. They are essentially hoarders. It gives me the creeps going into that house. house. You know, you walk in and it just smells like cats and dogs, and their dishes are never actually clean. And I'm just talking about it, I'm completely grossed out.
Yeah, I mean, it is. I mean, we've joked about it. They're not, like, dirty. They're just messy. They, like, do rummage sales and buy more stuff than they should, and it's kind of everywhere. I mean, I wouldn't say it's, like unsanitary, though. I don't really know how to respond to that. I mean, it's kind of like an in-law thing. It's not like we're moving there or vacationing there or something. I mean, it's one day. They live in town. It's not some big trip. She, by the way, very type A. Our place is spotless. Dirty to her is she could work for, like, the Department of Health.
Ryan, your parents are borderline hoarders. I don't even know if we're necessarily going to have, like, a place to eat this year.
Well, okay.
I offered to have it at our house.
I'm not quite sure why we can't, like, tough it out for it. Yeah, I don't like it there. I get claustrophobic. They're my parents. You married into this for a four-hour period. We can sit and have something to eat, and then we'll go out to a bar after and joke about it.
Ryan, how come you guys can't just do it at your place? Your parents won't come there?
They're insistent that, you know, I did it last year, and they want to do it this year, and I would be happy if it was just always at our house. God, the idea of what they're going to make that turkey in. Oh, my God.
All right. Well, what we do here is we put things to a vote, and we can see what our audience has to say. If they agree with you, Christina, if you're that grossed out, then maybe, Ryan, you need to have a conversation with your parents saying that you'd like to take over having the holidays at your home. Just say that you would feel more comfortable that way. I don't know how you nicely tell your parents that. I have to be honest.
Right. I mean, they're going to suspect they know what you're saying.
Right. But they may agree with you, Ryan, and I think a lot of people might. And just say, it's 4 hours. Suck it up. Go deal with it. And just skeeve it, but deal with it.
Totally.
Do you guys both agree to listen to what our audience has to say?
You bet.
Yeah.
Great. Give us a call. 1-800-330-9999. It's the Couples Court with Anna and Raven.
Christina uses the words that her in-law's house is disgusting. They're hoarders, dirty. But Ryan, her husband, says they just have a really lot of stuff and it's cramped. The thing is, Christina doesn't want to go there for Thanksgiving. She says that it's just not the way she likes to spend the holidays. It kind of makes her feel icky.
Yeah, unfortunately, around the holidays, everybody wants their family to come to their house. I know very few that want to travel. You said you enjoy going to other people's houses, but a lot of people, they're very territorial when it comes to these holiday things here. And it's tough when you got in-laws. Somebody's feelings are probably going
to
be hurt.
Right, so what do they do? What do they do in this situation? Is Ryan right? You got to go to my parents' house. It's the way it is. Or is Christina right? If I really don't want to go there because I'm grossed out, I shouldn't have to. 1-800-330-9999. Tana and Raven, whose side are you on this morning?
Hi. I definitely wouldn't be able to go to the in-laws. I'm a life insurance examiner, and even just being in a house an hour that's slightly dirty, I get really itchy and steeped out. I would opt to have it at our house and insist, and I wouldn't be able to deal with it for over an hour, yet alone 4 hours. It would just be too much.
Hi, it's Anna and Raven. Whose side are you on?
Hi, I'm on his side. I get it that the plates are dirty and that it's not sanitary, but this is the family. We had an aunt who cooked, and she was the worst cook. So we learned to just push our food around on our plates and go eat dinner afterwards.
That's one way to go about
that's
it.
That's what you have to do with family sometimes, right? Hey, Anna and Raven, whose side are you on?
I think I'm more on his side today. I feel like I know they both know that the house is like that, so maybe she can prepare ahead of time and make a specific dish that she knows that she wants to eat, and then she knows maybe it's more, I don't know, sanitary? 20. The wrong word, but make sure she knows there's like a dish or a dessert that she will eat.
And Ann Raven, whose side are you on?
I am on this side. She has to consider herself thankful that she is family to go to. Not everyone can say that. And maybe she could like talk to them and ask if there's anything she could do to help. Come early, tidy up, or come the day before and help them clean up.
Maybe she should show up with her vacuum cleaner.
I don't know if that's
you know what
right
I mean?
About
in a
it.
Bucket and some bleach.
I think she makes a good point, though. Sometimes it's not about the food. It's not about being there. It's just about supporting your family. And it looks like that's what she's going to have to do.
The verdict is in. Jury foreman, what are the results?
Ryan, our audience agreed with you. Christina.
Ah.
Sometimes you got to take one for the team, and you just got to show up and smile and be quiet, and that's going to have to be the way it is. It's your in-laws. It's 4 hours. You'll be okay.
Yeah. One and done.
Man, I'm totally bummed. But at least I know next year it'll be at my place.
Right. Yeah. I mean, you bring yourself a little snack satchel, all right? You steal a couple bites in the bathroom when you go by yourself, which is almost equally as disgusting.
Right.
And and you don't take any to-go containers. Next year, you're in the clear.
Right.
All right. I'm done.
Thanks, guys.
I don't know if she meant that. But anyway, right. Guys, thank you for coming on the show today.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Can't beat Raven.
Hi, it's Anna and Raven. Who's this?
Jennifer.
Jennifer, you are up. Can you please ask Raven to leave the room?
Raven, can you leave the room?
Sure. Good luck, Jennifer.
All right, Jennifer, here's how it works. I'm going to ask you 5 pop culture questions. You answer them as quickly as you can. I give you about 3 seconds for each one. I'll invite Raven back in and ask him the same 5 questions. Whoever gets the most right wins. You got to beat him, though. You can't tie him. But if you do, that $700 is all yours. You ready to play?
Yeah.
Number 1, Dolly Parton's Christmas on the Square on Netflix is being called the must-see holiday movie of 2020. In what state will you find Dollywood?
Tennessee.
Number 2, Hillary Duff is one of the many celebrities that have announced that they are quarantining due to COVID. What Disney TV show launched her career as a teen idol?
Lizzie McGuire.
Number 3, Deadpool 3 is happening, and rumors are that Dwayne The Rock Johnson is going to be a part of it. What actor plays Deadpool?
Ryan Reynolds.
Number 4, Lady Gaga is in talks to star opposite Brad Pitt in the new movie Bullet Train. She starred opposite Bradley Cooper in what movie?
I can't think of it.
Oh, and number 5, Alfonso Ribeiro was not there when Aunt Viv number 1 reunited with the Fresh Prince cast for the reconciliation. What was the name of the dance that he made famous that was also his character's name?
Charleston Shuffle?
What? Okay. Let's bring Raven back in. Let me wave him in. Raven!
Yo, how'd you do?
She got 3 out of 5. Started off well, didn't end so great.
Wow, right? That's pretty good. All right, let's see how I do.
Number 1, Dolly Parton's Christmas on the Square on Netflix is being called the must-watch holiday movie of 2020. In what state is Dollywood?
Tennessee.
Number 2, Hillary Duff is one of the many celebrities that have announced they are quarantining due to COVID. What Disney TV show launched her career as a teen idol?
You know, I'm a big Hillary Duff fan. Lizzie McGuire?
Yep, that's it. All right, number 3, Deadpool 3 is happening, and rumors are that Dwayne The Rock Johnson is going to be a part of it. What actor plays Deadpool?
It's Ryan Reynolds. That's easy. Come on.
All right, you guys are tied at 3. Number 4, Lady Gaga is in talks to star opposite Brad Pitt in the new movie Bullet Train. She starred opposite Bradley Cooper in what movie?
It's A Star Is Born.
That's right. I don't understand how Lady Gaga gets all the hottest brads to star opposite her. I was like, I don't understand. You're just going to kiss all the hottest brads in Hollywood?
It's pretty simple math. I mean, she's a huge, huge star.
All right. And the last question. Alfonso Ribeiro was not there when Aunt Viv number 1 reunited with the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air for the reconciliation. What was the name of the dance that he made famous that was also his character's name?
The Carlton. I'll do it right now. Come on.
Jennifer said... what did you say? The Charleston Shuffle? I think you just made it up. I'm sorry, Jennifer. He ended up beating you 5-3 this morning. That does get you your own Anna and Raven t-shirt.
I'm Jennifer, and I can't beat Raven.
Well, thank you for trying, Jennifer. We appreciate it. Hold on the line. We'll get all your info.
Better luck next time. Enjoy that shirt, girl.